The Detroit Pistons played tonight against the New York Knicks. They took an L, but it was much better than the game against the Memphis Grizzlies. We also got some news on Killian Hayes' concussion injury. But first and foremost, we got to talk about some of the rumors going around again with the Pistons and Ben Simmons coming up on Locked On Pistons today.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast. I want to thank you guys once again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. And right after this, to make your second listen of every day, make sure you go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. I was just on there again yesterday, talk about some of the Pistons' upcoming players from a fantasy basketball perspective. He took a lot of questions from guys, and I was answering on a live stream some questions about Pistons players, so make sure you go check that out. But if today is your first time ever listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. You can also find me on YouTube, at Kuka's Ballroom. You can also find Locked On Pistons over on YouTube. Now, this is now our second episode recorded on YouTube. I appreciate everyone who watched the first episode. If you haven't already, please go support the YouTube channel. Go hit subscribe over there. I really would appreciate it. And you can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. So the Detroit Pistons played last night when you guys listened to this, but tonight when I'm recording this against the New York Knicks, it was a much better game than the game against the Memphis Grizzlies. But we're not going to talk about that yet. We also got some news on Killian Hayes and some updates about him and his concussion injury. But very first, we have to talk about some of these Ben Simmons, the Detroit rumors. We talked about this a few times already in the offseason because the Pistons were linked to Ben Simmons earlier in the offseason, and I didn't think it was much of anything, so we didn't spend too much time on it, but we did hit on it a little bit. But the rumors started again today with Jake L. Fisher reporting again. It's believed the Pistons would entertain moving Jeremy Grant to acquire Ben Simmons, yet it's hard to see the former Sam Hinkie draft pick definitively improving Philadelphia's title odds and saying that the Pistons are among the teams interested in Ben Simmons. So, first off, do I believe that the Pistons are actually interested in Ben Simmons? I think just about any team would be interested in Ben Simmons if the price is right. If he was cheap, I think just a lot of teams would be interested in Ben Simmons. So I'm sure the Pistons have some sort of interest in Ben Simmons itself. Do I think the Pistons are going to trade for Ben Simmons? No, I don't think that's going to happen. Do I think the Pistons should trade for Ben Simmons? Hell no. Keep him away from Detroit. I don't think he fits with the Pistons. I don't think it makes sense at all to go after Ben Simmons right now. I've said this earlier in the offseason. I got into a few arguments on Twitter about it today, but just to reiterate this, Ben Simmons, if the Pistons were like a year or two down the line and they were like farther along in the restoration, then it would make sense, okay, to go get Ben Simmons maybe if you have like other pieces around and you're ready to go make that final move to try to launch yourself into something. If that's the case, then it would make sense to go get Ben Simmons. However, the Pistons are not in that. The Pistons are in year two of the restoration process. So, therefore, it makes no sense to me why they would then trade Jeremy Grant, who is currently going to be getting paid close to $20 million cheaper than Ben Simmons, trade him along with assets like Killian Hayes or Sadiq Bey and probably future draft picks to go get Ben Simmons. It makes no sense. The team, when you're a team like the Pistons right now in the second year of a rebuild or a restoration, whatever you want to call it, you're not looking to get rid of assets. You're trying to collect as many assets as you can. Maybe I'd be singing a different tune if this was like, I don't know, a player of Bradley Beal's kind of caliber, I guess. But Ben Simmons is not the kind of guy that you go and do this for. Now, let's talk about Ben Simmons as a player a little bit. I understand how great he is defensively. He was runner-up to a defensive player of the year. He's been on all defensive teams. He was an all-NBA player a few years ago. He's a good player. I'm not saying he's a bad player. He 100% is a really good player. However, let's take a look at his contract real quick. He's being paid $33 million this year. He's being paid $35 million next year. He's being paid close to $38 million a year after that. And he's being paid $40 million in his final year in 24 and 25. So there's two ways to look at this. And we talked about this earlier in offseason when we did talk about Ben Simmons. There's one side that will look at that and say, well, you know, you have a young player in the age of 25 who theoretically will be in his prime and you have him locked up for 5 years. That could be a positive. Some people will look at it that way. Or you could look at it the way I'm looking at it as, one, the Pistons are not ready to take on this kind of player, especially a player as divisive as Ben Simmons and needs the correct pieces around him in order to work. Pieces the Pistons just don't have to make work. They don't know anything about their own pieces. So to bring in a player like Ben Simmons who needs a certain type of style built around him and a certain type of players around him to work, something Philadelphia has been trying to do for years. They built the entire team trying to fit him, like Joel Embiid said over the offseason. If Philadelphia wasn't able to make that work with Joel Embiid as the best player, an MVP type of player, with Tobias Harris, with Danny Green, with Jimmy Butler a few years ago, if they weren't able to do that, the Pistons sure as hell are not in a position to do that in second year of their rebuild. That's second. I mean, that's first. Second, maybe you do that if Ben Simmons was like a top player in the NBA. I don't know what you guys think about him as Ben Simmons in the NBA, but I'm not sure he's a top 30 NBA player right now. He's a good player. He's a really damn good player. He's an all-star caliber player. But you don't go out and do these kind of trades for all-star players in your second, just all-star players who are being paid $40 million. You don't do that in the second year of your restoration process. You don't do that. Now, if this is a few years down the line, yes, you go after the all-star. You guys have been listening all offseason. I've been sitting here talking about, I believe that Torrey Reaver has a plan in his back pocket that they're probably going to move some of these draft picks that they've assembled in Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Saben Lee, and then future draft picks or whatever. Keeping the cap flexibility that they have, roster flexibility, and all the picks they have, I believe that Torrey Reaver's probably going to go out and make a trade at some point for an all-star, maybe a superstar if that happens to become the case, but more likely an all-star to try to take them to the next level. But that's not right now. And it's definitely not for just an all-star player who has severe shortcomings on offense, some limitations on offense to where it's questionable about whether you can even play him in the playoffs. You don't trade for that player. I don't care how good he is on defense in the second year of your rebuild when he's being paid that type of money. If Ben Simmons was being paid Jeremy Grant type of money, then yeah, obviously you go and do it then. But if Ben Simmons has proven on Philadelphia that he cannot be the type of player worth $35, $37, $38 million, which he's not. He's not worth that type of money. He was warranted for that money because he made the All-NBA third team a few years back. Andre Drummond was warranted for the contract when he made All-NBA third team. Does that mean he was worth the max? No, but just because he had that achievement that unlocked it for him and he was able to get paid that. Ben Simmons is not worth the contract he's being paid right now. It doesn't make sense for the Pistons to absorb that kind of contract while giving up assets. You don't give up assets in a rebuild, in second year of a rebuild. If it was year three, year four, when you have a better idea of your young prospects, you know which ones are staying, which ones are going, what you have. Do you have a 1A? Do you have a 2A? Do you have a 1A, 1B? What do you have? If you have that kind of knowledge in your situation, you know what you need to add to take to the next step, then fair enough. You go and get Ben Simmons. But right now, it makes no sense for the Pistons to want to do this. Also, Ben Simmons is probably going to elevate this team to what? Like, to get them like the sixth overall pick in the draft? That doesn't help the Pistons. The Pistons probably need this year, which is, I believe all of us understand the plan, this year to go get another top pick, and then the next year after that is when they really start trying to go for it. Year after that, that's when but they need one more draft pick to go along with Cade Cunningham, and then whatever the other pieces they are, because we don't know anything about anyone else. We don't even know about Cade yet. So it just, Pistons shouldn't be interested in Ben Simmons. Not interested, but they really shouldn't trade for Ben Simmons. They're not going to, and I don't believe they should either. Ben Simmons is not, he's a good player, but he's not worth the money he's being paid. And in year two of your rebuild, you don't trade for a star, a quote-unquote star who's being overpaid that kind of money in the second year of your rebuild when you don't have anything else to build around. At the age of 25, which is young, but it's not young enough for you to go and get rid of all your assets. And that's another thing. I had some people telling me on Twitter that, you know, you could get him for cheap. I don't know what has been, like, said. And from everything that's been reported, everything that's been said all summer that would make anyone think that you can get Ben Simmons on the 50 cents on the dollar. Everything that's been reported is that the only reason why Ben Simmons is going back to Philadelphia is because Philadelphia is refusing to trade him for the low ball offers that they're getting, and they would rather just sit back and just force him to play and because they're called his bluff on not wanting to get paid and just sitting out, which was right. So I don't know what has came out that makes people think you could possibly get Ben Simmons for just simply straight up Jeremy Grant. That's not going to be the case. You have to give up young prospects and picks, and it would be dumb for the Pistons to do that for any player basically right now, unless they're like LeBron James or something. It doesn't make sense. They're not ready yet to take that kind of step to getting a star. They're not there yet. They may be there next year. I think 2023, they'll be in that position where they can go for the star. Right now, they're not in that position. So that's all I got to say about Ben Simmons. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments below on YouTube. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, let me know in the reviews down below or on Twitter at Kuka Hill or at Locked On Pistons. I'm firmly against training for Ben Simmons right now. It doesn't make any sense. I really don't think the Pistons would do it anyways, but had to talk about it because the rumor started back up and it was getting Pistons fans rowdy. But first, before we get into the rest of the podcast, where we're going to talk about updates on Killian Hayes' concussion injury, and talk a little bit about the New York Knicks game that was played last night. I'm sure not a lot of you guys watched it because Bally Sports Detroit didn't stream it or play it on television. So I'm sure a lot of people missed it. And it wasn't that entertaining as well because they were missing Sadiq Bey, Kate Cunningham, and Killian Hayes. But we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the podcast. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you a little bit about Sweatblock. You know, there's some issues that you just don't really want to talk about. You know, issues in relationship, family problems, or more importantly, sweating through your shirt for no reason when out in public with your boys or girls. Yes, you heard me first. Everyone has been there. Simply wearing deodorant doesn't help you either. But Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes can help. Sweatblock is doctor recommended and doctor created. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. The next day you wake up and do your normal routines like nothing ever happened. Except this time without the worry of sweating through your t-shirt. Sweatblock works up for 7 days per use and has a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't help you keep dry, you get your money back. If you or someone you know is dealing with the worst issue in life of sweating through their t-shirt, something I've experienced, my friends have experienced, I feel like a lot of us have experienced, tell them about Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Get Sweatblock now and stop sweating. So let's talk a little bit about Killian Hayes. Now, we got a little bit of an update on his injury. So first off, apparently it was said, James Edwards, and I'm sure the rest of the beat writers, but I'm looking at James Edwards' tweets right now. Dwayne Casey was available for a press conference earlier today before the game, obviously the little interviews before the game that happens. And he said that the NBA was the ones that deemed Killian Hayes had to go into the protocol. It wasn't him. It wasn't Killian Hayes himself. The NBA decided that, hey, he needs to go into protocol. I'm sure they saw like the video or where he got the concussion. Apparently he was holding his head afterwards. And also apparently Dwayne Casey also revealed to us that after the game, Killian was looking down at his phone and his head was getting real sensitive. He was getting a headache and all that stuff. And that's the kind of, that's the kind of sign that gives you that he's having a concussion, that he had suffered a concussion, I should say. So that happened, and that the NBA apparently was the one that said, hey, he needs to go into concussion protocol. So that's what happened. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal because let's scroll up a little bit in these tweets. I'm sorry. Hayes, also, let me say this. Killian, apparently, in order for him to leave concussion protocol and return back to the court and be able to play for the Pistons, he has to pass three tests after having the concussion. He has to pass three of those tests and then also have a practice to exit protocol. So the Pistons' next preseason game is Friday. He's going to have basically only today. He's going to have to pass all three tests either last night on Wednesday after the Knicks game and on Thursday. He's going to have to pass three tests, and then that's before getting into practice on Thursday or today when you guys are listening to this. So I'm going to assume it's very unlikely that he plays on Friday, even if he does pass. That's assuming he passes the three tests if they get through it quickly. I don't know if he's going to be able to pass three tests before practice, then be available to play on Friday. I doubt that's going to happen. So I'm assuming Killian will be out on Friday for the Pistons' final preseason game. But there is some good news with that, as James Edwards went on to tweet. Good news that he tweets this out a few hours before the game. Good news that Hayes is in the building while under concussion protocol. Doesn't seem to be too bad, but the procedure is still the same regardless. So for those of you guys who don't understand what that means, if you have a concussion, I've had a concussion before. I played sports my whole life. Didn't have many. I only had one before in high school. But if you've ever had a concussion before, you played sports and you've had a concussion, the things that happen is you're sensitive to light. You're sensitive like to your phone, brightness, lights in the ceiling, like loud noises, etc. Like all that stuff really like it messes with you bad. So the fact that he was sensitive to his phone after, that's why that was like a quick trigger that, yeah, he probably in concussion protocol. Also the fact he apparently was holding his head at points in the second half as well. So that was not good. But anyways, the fact that he was able to be in the building, fine in the building, not dealing with any like headaches or holding his head or anything like that, being sensitive and stuff. The fact that he was able to be in the arena with, as you guys know, in an NBA stadium, there's tons of lights, tons of screaming fans, tons of things going on. The fact that he was able to be there shows that, you know, it's probably not that bad. He's feeling good right now. He was good enough to do that, and that means good things. Excuse me real quick. My throat is really raspy right now. I'm sorry. But, yeah, so it means good things about Killian Hayes. I don't think he's going to be able to play Friday. That's just my assumption if he has to pass three tests and get through a practice. But so far it looks like that it's not that big of a deal and that the Pistons are going to be okay. Killian Hayes is going to be okay. I think I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to give my own timetable as if I'm like in behind the scenes making the decisions there. But I'm going to assume that the Pistons are going to be okay, and Killian Hayes probably is going to play for the opening night game on the 20th. He has 7 days until that game. If he's already feeling a little bit better now from being able to sit on the bench and absorb all the light and all the noise, then I'm assuming he's going to be okay and he'll be straight by the time opening night comes. But another thing that gives you a little bit more confidence that the Pistons overall with their injuries are going to be okay, along with Killian Hayes, is that Dwayne Casey also came out and said that he's not worried about the injuries right now because, quote unquote, because it's nothing that is serious. So this goes back to not just Killian Hayes, who, like we just said, there's reason to believe that he's going to be okay and looks like he's progressing nicely already after his concussion. But there's reasons to believe that Cade is going to be all right. There's going to be reasons to believe that Sadiq is all right. Whoever else is dealing with it, I think Ronnie Magruder is questionable. It has been questionable recently, but Ronnie Magruder is not that big of a deal. It's really just about Killian, Cade, and Sadiq. Dwayne Casey has reiterated to us multiple times over and over and over that these injuries are not serious. The beat writers have not shown any concern to us outside that there's any reason to be concerned. I've been in two of the press conferences with Dwayne Casey thus far when he's talked about through Zoom calls. I've been on there twice now when he's talked about some of these injuries, and the vibe I'm getting from not just his words, but the way he's saying it and the way he looks when he's talking, he doesn't seem that concerned about it. He really doesn't. So that's what I'm going to say about it. I really don't think that there's reason for the Pistons fans to be as scared as they've been and for all you guys to be as worried as you guys are about Killian, or not really Killian, but Kate Cunningham is really where I think most of the worry comes from. But obviously also Killian and Sadiq now. But none of those injuries sound like they're serious. All of them, they've said over and over to us that they're not serious. You've seen Cade practicing afterwards and practice shooting around and stuff with the ankle injury, which we've talked about before over and over, that you simply wouldn't be doing if you had that serious of an ankle injury. I played basketball my whole life. I have broken my ankle twice. I've dealt with sprained ankles nonstop because of that. Once you sprain your ankle, if it's that bad of an ankle injury, you're not jumping around on it. You're not cutting left or right. You're not taking shooting drills. Like, if it's serious, you're not doing any of that. You're sitting down with ice on it, or you're in a boot and you're taking it easy. If it was serious injury, it's not that serious of an injury. I really don't think that we should be worried. I don't think Pistons fans should be worried. I think it's going to be straight. And we got good news, more good news with Killian Hayes today with his concussion. One thing I think is pretty random, but kind of crazy if you think about it, is that Killian and Sekou, his former teammate, both of them, you know, we call them the French connection. It is kind of weird. Is it like a French connection that they're both getting concussions? Is that like something that they, you know, connect with or something? Because it's crazy. Sekou dealt with so many concussions when he was with the Pistons. I think he had like three or four concussions. I know he at least had two last year that kept him out the game, or kept him out multiple games. And then now Killian Hayes is dealing with concussions. It's crazy. The Pistons have been dealing with some crazy injuries to start out. It's been tough, but again, like I said, it seems like everyone's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. It looks like for opening night, which is a week away, by the way. Again, these players have a week to heal up and get better. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think they're going to be all right. And so we got good news on Killian. I think Dwayne Casey's saying that he's not worried about any of the injuries because they're not too serious. Gives you reason to be okay and hopeful that the rest of the guys are also going to be straight for the 20th and be able to play against the Chicago Bulls. So that's all I've got to say about that. Let me know what you guys think. Are you guys still worried about these guys? Are you guys still thinking that Dwayne Casey's lying to you guys, or maybe minimizing the impact of these injuries, or the how severe these injuries are, I should say? Let me know all that in the reviews or the comments down below, or at Kuka Hill, or at Lockdown Pistons on Twitter. But coming up, we're going to talk about the New York Knicks game. I don't know how many of you guys watched it again, because it wasn't on Bally Sports Detroit. I was able to watch it on League Pass. And, it wasn't too into – I'm sorry. If you guys watch it on YouTube, you guys know what just happened. But, it wasn't that interesting of a game. There's definitely some things that happened. It was fun to see them fight a little bit better than they did against the Memphis Grizzlies. But we'll talk about that coming up. But first, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors. This one is BetOnline.ag. Betting is now legal in Michigan. And if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there's one problem I constantly ran into. There's so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's why I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season is in high gear. The NBA season is about to start up. I would not advise you guys to bet on preseason games. Do not do it. Stop. Do not be that madman that does that. Wait for the season to start. It's in a week. And the MLB is in the playoffs. So all the sports are in full swing. However, if you want to take your adventures beyond sports, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props and just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, real quick, I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen up today. I really appreciate it. And again, we are on YouTube. I'm recording this right now for YouTube and the podcast. You guys can go see me visually on YouTube. So make sure all you guys to support the podcast, even if you don't want to go on YouTube. Maybe you guys just don't want to watch me. Maybe I'm just too ugly for you guys. Maybe I'm too sexy for you guys. Who knows? But you guys don't have to watch it on YouTube. Just go over and support the podcast on YouTube. Just hit that subscribe button. You don't have to watch it. But I think it's a cool addition. I think, I started on YouTube. This is how I got here. I started on YouTube in 2016 with my own channel. I'm pretty familiar with YouTube. I'm pretty fun on YouTube, I think. So I think you guys would like it if you at least gave it a try. So go to Locked On Pistons on YouTube and hit that subscribe button and check out these videos. I think they're a lot of fun. It gives a different dynamic to just hearing me talk about. You guys can see some of the hand signals I'm doing and how my facial reactions are. I think it's a little fun. So make sure you go check it out and support the podcast if you can. But let's go ahead and talk about this New York Knicks game the Pistons just participated in. The Pistons lost this game, but I can say this, but they showed a lot more fight tonight than they did in the game against the Memphis Grizzlies. As you guys know, the Pistons went out there and got absolutely manhandled by the Memphis Grizzlies by a score of 127-92. It was embarrassing. They looked like they didn't even really take it serious. It looked like a pickup game. They weren't really playing defense. They weren't getting back on defense. They were missing shots. The offense looked clunky. It looked out of sorts. It looked like a preseason game, but like the worst version of a preseason game. So, like I said in the last podcast, I don't care if it's preseason. I don't care if it's exhibition. I don't care if it's an open scrimmage. You don't want to ever lose by 35 points. That's embarrassing. It should never happen. So, I really wanted to see how the Pistons came back tonight or last night and played against the New York Knicks. And they fought hard. They had the lead at halftime. So I believe by the score of 56-52. So they fought really hard this game. They had the lead at halftime. They ended up losing by a score of 108-100. But definitely more fight, and that's really what you guys wanted to see, especially without some of their top three players in Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, and Kay Cunningham. You wanted to see them fight and see how they responded to that and how they responded to the Memphis Grizzlies loss, and they really did that. The Pistons were led in scoring by Jeremy Grant with 18 points. Following up him is Frank Jackson with 15, Saben Lee with 14, Kelly Olynyk with 10, and then a bunch of other guys in single digits. But one of the things that really jumped off the screen for me, I guess, in this watching this game is the continued success of Saben Lee launching three-pointers. Tonight, he went 4-for-4 from deep. That's crazy. I would not have ever thought that in his career, let alone this game, I wouldn't think any time in Saben Lee's career that he would shoot 4-for-4 from deep. Two of them, at least, was him, a guy going underneath the screen, him reacting and taking the pull-up three. Never in my life did I think we'd see that. Now, his jump shot, I'm sorry, Saban, if you ever listen to this, man, I know that you'd still beat me. I'm just saying. His jump shot is going in, but it's not the prettiest jumper, if you know what I'm saying. It's not pretty. But it's going in. It was going in Summer League. Dwayne Casey told us after Summer League and in training camp that Saban Lee's jump shot had been falling. And in this preseason game, he shot 4-for-4 from deep. It's a big improvement for him. You know what the crazy thing about Saben Lee is that I feel like when we were watching him last year, we said to ourselves that the one thing he's missing, he's just missing a jump shot. It really hurts him. That's where he's really missing. If he can ever add a jump shot to his game, he could be a nice player in the NBA. And even with him hitting these outside shots, I'm still, like, even watching him today, I found myself at times saying, Saban still needs a lot of work. He still needs to go down to G League. He needs to get a lot of reps in. He's not really ready yet. And that's with him hitting 4 threes. So, like, I don't know. I had to go back and do a rewatch to really, like, get an understanding of what it was that was making me feel that way. But just from after my first watch, he doesn't look like he's very comfortable running an offense. His decision-making at times is very, very questionable. He has tunnel vision a lot of the time. I feel like a lot of the Pistons players deal with tunnel vision. It's it sucks that so many players, I feel like I have to say that for it, but I feel like he has tunnel vision a lot of times on his way to the, when he goes to the basket, I feel like at times that he's really out of sorts when he's on his way to the basket. So I don't know. I he did take a step forward so far, it looks like, in his shooting department. That's really good. However, I still think that if you watch Saben Lee play, when you watch him, you can see that he's not ready yet. He struggles a little bit defensively as well. He struggles when pressure is put on him. Dwayne Casey actually said this himself before the game, that when Saben – actually, no, I believe it was after the game. He said that Saben Lee, when he's pressured, his first instinct is to go into scoring mode. And I get that. That makes sense, but it doesn't – it's not the best thing, and it usually doesn't translate to the best outcome for the Pistons. He's not – that's just part of being a young guy and being a scoring first guy, but he needs to adjust to a different type of role, or at least develop a different type of game to combine with that in the NBA level. So not saying that Saban's a bust by any means over preseason games. That's not what I'm saying. He actually looked good shooting threes. My point is that so far watching him, when you watch him, you can tell that, yeah, he's improved. It looks like he may have improved in three-point shooting, but other areas of his game still need to be improved, and he's going to need time. It's good to see that through one offseason, it looks like that he's already improved his jump shot. That's a big thing to improve in just one offseason. So hopefully this actually sustains. So that gives you an idea that he's a good, hard worker, and you can bet on those type of guys. And it seems like Troy Weaver drafts those guys, the guys that put in a lot of work. You can bet on the ones that with great work ethic. So we'll see what happens with Saben Lee this year. We'll see what happens with his career. However, I'm just saying right now, while his jump shot is a major positive right now, a major thing to see that he's improved on, you can still see in multiple other things that he just needs to get up to level and kind of mature. And that's normal for young guys. That's the kind of thing that has to happen. So this third segment actually kind of turned into the Saben Lee show. But Saben Lee basically was my big takeaway this game. Frank Jackson continued to struggle from beyond the arc. I don't think we're too worried about Frank Jackson shooting-wise, but again, he ended up with 15 points, but still, you want to see him kind of take advantage and push forward and use that momentum that he had from the training camp sessions that we have been told about that he was great in, and the open scrimmage that apparently he was the best player on the court that we were told. We wanted to see him kind of like use that to catapult himself into the rotation and really secure himself in the rotation. And again, he did have 15 points, but the thing that he's best at, he's struggling with right now in the preseason. You kind of want to see that. You kind of want to see him play a little bit better, I feel like. At least I did. I kind of wanted to see Frank Jackson play a little bit better because I feel like he can play better. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I just, you know, I thought I was going to see a little bit more out of Frank. I still think he's probably going to be in the rotation. But again, I feel like I kind of wanted to see more out of Frank thus far. Another guy that I think the Pistons or Pistons fans need to get used to possibly not being in the rotation is Hamidou Diallo. Hamidou Diallo only had played 17 minutes tonight. Josh Jackson got the start with 31 minutes. And then Frank Jackson also started next to him with 30 minutes. Hamidou has not looked that good in the preseason. I'll say his role isn't the same as it was last year. I said that in the last podcast, but really his role is just not the same. And I feel like he's struggling to really trying to find how to balance his game with this role that they have him playing. And I could see him sitting out the rotation or being out the rotation to start the year in order to play Frank Jackson and Josh Jackson. So, that's something to watch for. I did not think before this, you guys have been listening to the podcast, you guys know that I thought Hamidou Diallo was a lock for the rotation. But right now, I don't know. I think he's probably going to be the odd guy out right now. It looks like that. So hopefully he has a really good final game. I really like Hamidou Diallo. You guys know I was high on his ceiling, but he's not. He hasn't looked that great so far. So hopefully he turns around the final game and is able to turn it around at the beginning of the season and kind of, you know, force his way into the rotation. So we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, outside of that, there's nothing really else to take away from this game. That's basically all I got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. If you guys are watching on YouTube, I appreciate you guys as always. Second video on YouTube. It's pretty fun. I'm having some fun. I was a little bit worried at first, but you know, I'm having a lot of fun. And I know, again, you guys are going to see my assortment of snapbacks on YouTube. You guys saw the Pistons teal one. Now you guys got the Jordan one. The you know, it's kind of like a pinkish orange kind of color. But, you know, you feel me? It's a dope hat. You guys are going to be seeing all kinds of snapbacks on the YouTube. But, again, thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every day. I really appreciate it. Make sure you guys go make your second listen of today. Lockdown Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd as the host. Again, like I said, I was probably on his upcoming podcast talking about the Pistons players and from a fantasy perspective. He's doing a great job over there previewing it. But Hope you guys had some fun, at least if you guys did find a way to watch the Knicks game. I hope you guys enjoyed the game. Get ready for Friday's game. I'll see you guys on Friday morning with the podcast. And until then, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody. Have a great day.